Church.
Good morning.
Oh, that sounds so good. 27 months. 27 months since we have all been able to gather together in this sanctuary. One service. 27 months. And boy, oh boy, do you sound good when you sing. Oh, it's such a joy. I wish everyone could sit on the front row. Because if everyone could sit on the front row, you would hear the people singing behind you. And what a glorious sound that is. What a glorious sound that is. Dear ones, my heart is so full this morning. I feel so good. It's been a wild week. Earlier in the week, we had our sister Joyce Kurtzen. She was raised to glory. And it was so good to gather together with believers. And even though it was sad to say goodbye to our sister, it was such a joy to be able to be reminded and encouraged by the fact that she knows Jesus Christ. She knew him in this life, and now the veil has been torn away, and she sees him in fully for who he is. And we could hold on to that hope. And then this past week, I had a friend end up in the hospital, and I was concerned for him, and just to hear that he's going to be fine, you know? And that was just wanted to praise God for that. And then to think that we're going to have this opportunity to baptize 3 sisters in the Lord, and that just fills my heart with joy. And then to think I get to have you all together in one spot and listen to you sing. Oh, man. God is good, is he not? Amen, amen, and amen. So we are going to have the privilege of witnessing Maddie and Samantha Olson and Ethel Taylor declare their faith in Jesus and be baptized. And what a privilege it is for us to be able to see this moment. Now, just as a reminder to us, baptism is one of the ordinances, along with communion, that sets forth essential Christian truths and that Jesus commanded that all believers observe. Now, in communion, believers are reminded of what Christ has done for us. In the bread and the juice, we see the broken body of Christ, and we see the juice, the blood of Jesus poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And in baptism, the believer symbolically declares their union with Christ, union with his death and his burial and his resurrection. So I thought it might be good to take a moment and just remind us of some of the symbolism that we see in the baptism and talk a little bit about it so we can be sure of what it is we are witnessing this morning. The first thing I want to remind us of is that baptism is symbolic of cleansing. This probably goes without saying because you're going into the water. I'm reminded of Titus 3:5 where it says, he saved us not because of righteous things we have done. You understand that you're not saved because of the good things you do, for being super perfect, nice to the old person across the street, taking care of your neighbor's dog. Those aren't the things that impress God. No, it's because of his mercy that we are saved. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. You see, when we came into this world, we were broken. We're broken by nature and by choice. And so we bear the stain of that brokenness upon us. And it's that brokenness, that uncleanliness that keeps us separated from God. So unless God was to do something for us, we could never be perfect enough. We could never be good enough to ever impress a holy, righteous God. And so Jesus sent his one and only Son to pay the penalty for our sin, that when we put our faith in him, he declares us clean. He declares us forgiven. He declares us redeemed. He declares us his own. And when we are declared clean, the Holy Spirit enters into us to mark us. The Holy Spirit is that seal unto the day of redemption, that seal that guarantees that when we enter into that final moment, when we close our eyes for the last time, oh, we will be seen. And we are given the promise that now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So in baptism, we have this symbolism of being washed, just like the Holy Spirit has done in all believers. Now, baptism also symbolizes identification and is a testimony to what we profess. And I was reminded of Galatians 3:27, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." Now, you know, when I was involved with the police department, when I was serving as their chaplain actively, one of the things they gave me early on was a jacket. And the jacket had their emblem on the front that identified me as part of Ulster PD. And then in the back it said, "Chaplain." And this allowed me, whatever scene I was on, it was allowed me to be identified with them. People could readily recognize that I was with the police department. You know, we do this throughout our lives. Some of you are baseball fans. And you wear your jersey proudly as you profess, "I am a Yankee." It's hard to say. A Yankees. You're one of those fans. And then there are Boston fans who proclaim it boldly. "We are Boston fans." Right? Amen, brother. Amen. And so we wear our jerseys and we dodge the rocks. But when people see the jersey, they know who we stand with, right? They know who we stand with. It's always kind of funny. You walk the rail trail with a Boston jersey. Inevitably, you come up with another Boston fan. And they're kind of tentative at first. And then they go, "Boston fan?" You say, "Yeah." And they're, "All right. All right." Because we're so used to being picked on. And we wear our regalia for the colleges we go to. And we identify ourselves with so many things in this life. Baptism is one of the ways that we publicly declare who we belong to. It's our statement that says, "Here I stand. I am for and I am with Jesus." And I know that when we have that public proclamation, that public declaration, I know that it can be a mighty testimony and a mighty witness to those who see it. Years ago, we were up at North Lake, and we were doing baptisms off the beach. And so I'd wade out, you know, outside the swimming area, I'd wade out because the state wouldn't allow us to do it in the beach area. So we had to do it in the muck and mire. You know, you make your way out. And while I got out there, I would invite the person being baptized to come and join me. And they'd make their way out. And as they were coming out, I watched children line up along the rails, you know, the thing they put out to mark the swimming area, and children would line right up. And then I noticed that people in the swimming area had stopped swimming. And now everybody was looking out. That entire beach was looking at this baptism that was going on. And as these people would come, we would say, you know, "This is who this person is." We'd say, "We baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And they would go under the water and come back up. And then we'd do another, and then another. And when we were all done, as I was walking, I will never forget this. There were children baptizing one another in the swimming area. Okay? And I thought, you know, go ahead. Go ahead, mimic a righteousness that you have just seen. Because you'll remember that. Those children will remember that day. And then I got off the beach, and I saw a friend of mine who I had worked with at a previous place. And he said, "You know, I knew it was you. I saw you out there." And I told my wife, "There's Wes out there doing that. It's gone too far." You know, it made me giggle to think, you know, he said, "This religion thing's fine. You want to go be a pastor, that's fine. But now you're doing it in public." You know, so let's. But again, baptism is that sign that says, "I stand with Jesus. I stand with Jesus." It shocks me sometimes to hear how much we sometimes are afraid of being baptized. And I wonder sometimes, why? Why would be afraid? Why afraid of the one who has saved you, who has secured you, who has sealed you with the Holy Spirit, who has promised you no condemnation, who has promised you eternal life? Why not stand with Jesus? Say, "Here I am. Here I am." And lastly, I would say that baptism also symbolizes Jesus' death and resurrection. It reminds me of Romans 6:4 and Colossians 2:12. It says, We were therefore, because of our faith in Jesus, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And in Colossians 2:12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now, this symbolism is pretty straightforward. When you step into the water, We see you. You're dry. You're in your previous state. But then as you go under the water, you disappear from our presence, just like someone who has died. And then you're raised again. And when you're raised again, what's the first thing you do when you come out of the water? You take a breath. You take a breath, and it's like that day of being born again, right? You're born, you have new air in your lungs, and you're renewed and you're changed because all the dirt and junk has all come off. And now there you are, ready to start your new life, declaring, "Here I stand." So we see in the symbolism, we see the cleansing that's been accomplished through the work of Christ. We see in the symbolism the identification and our testimony of faith that we stand with Jesus. We see in the symbolism, we see the death and resurrection, that we are united ourselves. We are connecting ourselves with Jesus' death and resurrection. So given the symbol of baptism, who's called to be baptized? Who's supposed to be baptized? Well, as I thought on this, there were a couple of passages in the book of Acts. Acts 2:41 says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Acts 8:12 says, but when they believed, accepted and believed, when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. In Acts 10:47, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit. They have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Together, these verses demonstrate that the pattern in Scripture is that baptism should occur after a personal decision for Jesus Christ. After a personal decision in Jesus Christ, meaning you've made the choice. It's the Holy Spirit that's quickened you, you know. It's the Holy Spirit that's awakened in you the desire to be saved. He's the one who's convicted you of sin. But we must submit our wills to his working in our lives. And so the Scripture points to those who have accepted his message. That is, they've allowed that Spirit to speak into their lives and convict them of their sin, convict them of their need, convict them of the fact that they are separated from God. And the Scripture says, and they believe, not just receive the message. These are folks who have received it. They've taken hold of it. They've acknowledged that there is no other way, for life can be found in no one other than Jesus Christ. He is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by him. And lastly, they have received the Holy Spirit, having accepted the message, having believed the message. The Holy Spirit is given to them and now resides within them, declaring from the inside out that they belong to Jesus. They belong to Jesus. So, at Grace Church, baptism, we look at the Scripture and we say, no, baptism is for those who have declared faith in Jesus Christ, who can articulate that faith wherever they are in this life. And so we seek to have them baptized. And then lastly, why? Why should believers be baptized? Well, I would submit that one reason, and there are many, but one reason is because Jesus was baptized. Now, brothers and sisters, can you think of a better reason to be baptized than the fact that your heavenly Father, you're the Son of God, was baptized? The Scripture says that Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Jesus was baptized, and in so doing, he demonstrated his obedience to God, God the Father. And he was told, in Jesus I am well pleased. Brothers and sisters, if Jesus was baptized, we should desire to be baptized. And we can be aware and assured that we are acting in obedience to his will. Amen? Also, we believe we should be baptized because Jesus commanded it. Not only was Jesus baptized, but he said, be baptized. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. Brothers and sisters, we know we're in good stead when not only Jesus has been baptized, but he tells us, go and baptize others. Go and make that a part of your mission. Now, having said all that, can I remind us what baptism is not? What baptism is not? Baptism does not save anyone. Baptism doesn't save anyone. It is a reflection of a grace that has been given. It is a reflection of something that has already occurred in our lives. It's a public profession of what has already occurred in our lives. No child, no adult is saved because they are baptized. Salvation comes through faith in Christ alone. Period. No ifs, no ands, no buts. No Jesus plus anything. In faith in Christ alone, by the very grace of God. And also, baptism does not secure your faith. It is a call to us to obedience. It should be our first act of obedience upon profession of faith. But it is not a way to secure us in faith. Sometimes we live in a day and age and we think that somehow we have to, once being saved, we have to do something to somehow make sure that Jesus stays with us. You know, we have to continue to do good works so that the salvation that Jesus has brought to us will somehow be secured. And isn't it silly to think that the salvation that only Christ could bring, that somehow we, by our actions and works, could secure Jesus to us? No, we are secured by the work of Christ and by the indwelling Holy Spirit that resides within us. There is no other thing that needs to secure us so that we may have a future that will never perish, spoil, or fade. Now, brothers and sisters, the Apostle Peter declares this. He says, repent and be baptized. That is, turn from your sin, acknowledge your sin, and be baptized. Dear ones, I would submit to you that is for all of us. That is for all of us. And so I ask, have you been baptized as a believer? If not, can I encourage you to take that step of faith? You know, years ago when I worked with a youth group and they were graduating from high school, we'd tell them, you know what, you need to keep this in mind. When you leave high school, and when you go off to a new place, it's important that you plant your flag early. Find a church and plant your flag. It may not be the church you stay in the next 4 years. But unless you plant your flag early, declaring, this is who I am, and I will be someone who worships Christ, then you all know what happens, don't you? It's not long before, well, you say, I'm looking for a church. And pretty soon the look gets harder and harder, and it's harder to find the thing that exactly fits what exactly you want at any given time. And pretty soon you're really not attending services. Pretty soon you're not in the Word. Pretty soon you're not engaged in growing your faith because you didn't plant your flag. Dear ones, I'm not suggesting that if you are not baptized as an adult, that you're not planting your flag. But I am suggesting that if there's anything that keeps you from being baptized as an adult, anything that gets in the way of declaring, here I stand, then can I encourage you, push that aside. Push that aside and make your profession of faith be willing to step into the waters of baptism to say, here I am. Declare yourself. Declare who you are. And if you find yourself hesitant, can I very gently exhort you to consider what it is that could keep you from it? What is it that really stops you from making that public profession? So, dear ones, as we come to this time of baptism, Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice that we have the privilege of seeing three believers declare their faith in Jesus. And let us rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ is still at work. He is still at work breaking the power of sin and death in people's lives. Jesus Christ is still at work calling us to himself. And for those found in him, he is still at work giving us an inheritance that'll never spoil. It'll never fade. And it is held for us in eternity by the very power that raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, dear ones, we have a lot to rejoice in as we watch this moment of baptism. It's a good day. It's a good day. Will you pray with me, please? Father God, we pray that now you will take this moment and you will sanctify it, and that you will use it to draw us into an ever-deepening love for you. And I pray, Father God, that if there's anyone here today who hasn't yet received you in faith, then I pray that today would be the day of their salvation, that today would be the day they would recognize their sin, today would be the day that they would reach out and recognize that you are the one who has made provision for them, that they may not live under the weight and tyranny of sin and death any longer, but instead have new life in Jesus. And Father God, if there's anyone here who's a believer, who's held off, said, I just can't, I'm afraid or whatever, I pray that you would break through that fear and allow them to take their stand, declaring, here I stand, here I stand. Because there is no rock, there is no fortress, there is no power greater than yours. There's no one better than you to anchor ourselves to. For you are holy and righteous and lovely and pure and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. And so we lift all of this to you in praise and adoration. And we pray this all in Christ's name.